This is going to be a tape of Grandpa's jokes and stories. Have patience, they're coming up. Boy who tore his pants? Maybe you could tell that one. I'm just talking to that.
A little boy came in from outdoors and said to his mother, "Ma, I tore these pants." She said, "Well, go upstairs and put on another pair." So he went upstairs and put on another pair. And pretty soon he came in, said, "Ma, I tore these pants." She says, "Well, you go upstairs and get a needle and thread and sew up the pants. You've got to learn to be more careful." So he went upstairs. And a little later, she went up, and here were two pairs of torn pants, but no boy. She went down the back stairs. She noticed that the cellar door was open, and she called down, "Are you running around down there without any pants on?" And the man's voice said, "No, I'm reading the gas meter."
Oh, that's a great one. That reminds me of my childhood, because I remember you used to tell that a lot. What about one of your riddles, the poem riddle about the man that goes out in the country? Could you tell that one?
Goes out in the country.
And sees the tree? Tell that
one. A man went out in the country and he saw a tree with apples on it. He picked no apples. He left no apples on it.
But wait a minute. I think it begins, "There was a man."
There was a man.
With no...
There was a man who had no eyes. He went abroad to view the skies. He saw a tree with apples on it. He picked no apples and left no apples on it.
Well, how could that possibly be?
Well, he had no eyes, but he had an eye.
Oh, yeah.
He saw a tree with apples on it. Two apples. He picked no apples. He picked one apple. And left no apples on it. He left one apple on it.
Okay, that's the way it goes. Right, and that's really a good mathematical problem. How about really going through the whole long one about why fire engines are red? I think you can remember that whole thing?
Fire engines are red because the newspapers are red, too. 2 times 2 are 4. 4 times 3 are 12. There are 12 inches in a ruler. Queen Mary was a ruler. Queen Mary was the name of a ship. A ship goes on the water. There are fish in the water. The fish have fins. The fins fought the Russians. The Russians go... The Russians are red. The fire engine goes rushing around, therefore the fire engine is red too.
Ah, bravo! That's great! Okay, Dad, if you could, as a finale for this session, why don't you sing Little Brown Jug, your favorite Chinese song when you're out in the country, making everybody laugh. Shagusher de Musher.
My wife and I live all alone in a little log hut we call our own. She loved coffee and I love tea. That's what causes trouble, you see. Ha 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 ha! You and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Ha ha ha! You and me, shoe fly, don't you bother me. When I go toiling on the farm, I take a little brown jug on my arm, set it down in a shady spot. Now and then I take a drop. Ha ha ha! You and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Ha ha ha! You and me, shoe fly, don't you bother me.
Okay, how about doing one more song, Grandpa? That's from your China days, the one from the language school, Peking Language School. The one you just did.
How it begin?
It's a long road.
It's a long way to learn the language. It's a long way to go. Your eager near in my charity, don't she? Is the only thing I know. Farewell, English language. Farewell, Uncle Sam. If I ever learned, it's Ding Hao I am.
这个是定好的哥哥。多好多好啊。 Okay, Dad, could you sing about There Was a Man in Our Town?
There was a man in our town, and he was wondrous wise. By the light, of the moon. He jumped into a bramble bush and scratched out both his eyes. By the light of the moon. By the light of the moon, by the light of the moon. By the light, by the light of the moon. He jumped into a bramble bush and scratched out both his eyes. By the light of the silvery moon. And when he saw his eyes were out with all his might and main, by the light, by the light of the moon, he jumped into another bush and scratched them in again. By the light of the moon. By the light of the moon, by the light of the moon, by the light, by the light of the moon. He jumped into another bush and scratched them in again. By the light of the moon.
Wonderful, just wonderful. Here's another grandpa story.
Here's somebody. Well, here's an illustration of American humor. There was an English woman came over to this country and was going back home. She was in New York. In the hotel, going down the elevator, and she said to the elevator, they call it elevator boy, "I'm going back to England. I'd like to take a sample of American humor."
It's probably. So very strange, this humor. I want to take a sample back.
What?
She thought it was such strange humor that's why she wanted to take a sample back. Yeah.
She thought it was such strange humor. She wanted to take a sample back. And she asked him what he would suggest. And he said, "Well, there is a person who's the offspring of my father and mother. It's not my brother, not my sister. Who is it?" She didn't know. He said, "Why, it's myself." "Oh, yes," she said. And she was over in her own country and telling about her experiences in America. And she said, "There is a person who's the offspring of my father and mother, not my brother, not my sister. Who is it?" They didn't know. So it's that colored boy over in the hotel in New York.
Okay, Dad, there's another story about another English person that wanted to take some American humor back to England. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't.
Happiest moments of all my life.
Well,
can you get all that in?
Well, this Englishman heard someone say the happiest moments of all my life was spent in the arms of another man's wife, my mother. And they thought that was a good joke, and he thought it was too. He went back to England and told him about his experiences in America. And he said, "There is the happiest moments of all my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. happiest moment of all my life was spent in the arms of an old man's wife. The grave, if I can remember who she was.
You got through that just...
It was recorded once.
No. This is the story about the Irish wake, I think. Was it Patrick McGillicuddy who had died and all of his friends were celebrating? Is that it, Dad?
That's right. They were having this party and drinking rather heavily, and one of them drank so much that he passed out. There was an empty coffin there, so they put him in this coffin. When he came to, he looked around and saw where he was. He says, "Am I alive or am I dead? If I'm alive, why am I in this coffin? If I'm dead, why do I have to go to the bathroom?" How does it begin?
As long as you're telling a little bit off-color stories, Grandpa, why don't you tell that marvelous story about the couple celebrating their golden anniversary?
Oh, yes. They were married 50 years, so they decided they would relive that first night of their wedded life. So they went back to the same hotel where they'd spent the first night, had dinner there. Then they went to a movie, came back, and went to bed. She got into bed first, and pretty soon he came and lay on the side with his back towards her, and she said, "Well, I thought you wanted to do the same you did the first night." He said, what was that? "Well, don't you remember? You kissed me." So he turned over and kissed her. And he lay on his side again. She said, "Well, don't you remember what else you did?" He says, "No, what was it?" He said, "You bit my ear." And she heard him getting out of bed and walking across the floor. He says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to the bathroom." "What are you going to the bathroom for?" "To get my teeth."
Okay, Dad, the story about, the people who are supposedly crazy in this world.
That
is that story that you just told me.
It was an insane asylum where they had crazy people, and some of them were out, and there was a fence around the yard, and some of the inmates were out in the yard, and a man came along with a load of horse manure, and they said to him, "What are you going to do with that?" He said, "I'm going to put on the strawberries." He said, "Ha, ha, ha, we put sugar on ours, and they say we're nuts."
That's the story. That's the one.
I won't introduce it at all. I think you better put it down here, though, so you can talk into this part.
Oh. How to begin?
Well, I don't know. The line says here, "The Lord sent it." So however it begins, I don't know.
There was an old lady who was very poor, and she ate the last bit of food she had. She didn't have any more, so she knelt down on her knees and prayed the Lord to send her some food. And there was a young fellow going by her window just that time and heard her praying. He says, "I'll teach her the Lord doesn't hear prayers." So he went and got a loaf of bread and threw it in the window. And she knelt down and thanked the Lord for having answered her prayer. And he said, "Old woman, you're mistaken. The Lord didn't send that. I bought it myself and brought it here and threw it in the window." She said, "Oh, yes, the Lord had sent it, even if the devil did bring it."
Okay, have you got another story about that's fitting to tell in church?
Well, this one is all right to tell in church. It's about a man who worked at a sugar mill in Hawaii. And one day, he was the only foreigner there. And one day he saw another foreigner and realized that the man wouldn't have any place to get lunch at the sugar mill, so he invited him home for lunch.
And what was this other man that he saw? This other man that was an American? You didn't tell
it
what he was.
What was he?
You said he was a Methodist minister before.
Oh, yeah.
He was traveling.
And he came to this... I've lost the thread of it.
Okay, let's try it. Maybe it's clear now, Dan, okay?
There was an American in Hawaii who... traveled around from one sugar mill to another. And he came to one sugar mill where there was another American. And the American there realized that this visiting person wouldn't have any place to get lunch, so he invited him home for lunch. And introduced him to his wife, and the wife said she's glad to meet him. Then he went in, he was shown where the bathroom was, and he took off his coat and necktie and rolled up his sleeves and bent over the basin, getting a good scrub when the woman of the house came into the bathroom and banged him down and banged him on the back with a book. And he realized, and she said, "You old fool, what you invite that man here for dinner? You knew I didn't have anything cooked." Well, he knew that she made a mistake, so he didn't pay any attention. And she went back, and after he'd finished his wash, he went... What time is that?
After that, 5:25.
Half past 5. Now I've forgotten how it was.
So that he went into lunch, and he knew she'd be terribly embarrassed.
Yes. He knew she'd be terribly embarrassed, so he said, "Mrs. Smith, I want to ask you a question." She said, What is it? He said, "Was that the cookbook or the Bible you hit me on the back with?"
Well, we finally got through that, but it was not the greatest joke in the world, I'm afraid. I know that Vermont people are supposed to be very laconic. They don't talk very much. And remember the story about fishing in the 10 degrees below zero out on the ice? How about that one, Dan?
You want me to tell? Well, this is about a man... went out on the ice to fish in the wintertime, and he saw another man who'd already got a hole chopping the ice and had his line in the hole. And so the second man came up to him and said, "Cold, ain't it?" He bowed his head.
Oh, he nodded his head.
He nodded his head.
But didn't say anything, okay.
He says, "You caught anything?" He shook his head. He says, "You think it's going to snow?"
He shook his head again.
He shook his head again.
Didn't say a thing.
He says, "Can't you talk?"
Nodded his head again, but not saying anything. It's hard to tell us without seeing it, but go ahead.
And he said, "Well, you can talk, why don't you? Some king of worms form."
You really have to see Grandpa. You have to see him to understand that joke, because He, after all, he's not going to talk very much. Got another Hawaiian story there, Dad. You might try that.
There was a man in Hawaii. He was a minister, and he was American. And a Japanese couple came, wanted to get married. Well, he didn't know any Japanese, and they didn't know any English, but they all knew pidgin English. So he said to the man, "You like this wahine?" He says, "Yes." "Is Bombay, you know, kick out?" "No." He says to the woman, "You like this kani?" "Yes." "Bombay, you know, kick out?" "No." He bowed his head in prayer. They went out, married man and wife.
Okay, Grandpa, I think you have a stuttering story here.
Oh, the one I just said?
Mm-hmm. About the man who wanted to go find his way to Boston.
Yeah.
He was walking on the road and he saw a couple of fellers standing there.
And he, I'll repeat that, dude.
Okay.
Man walking along the road and he came to a place where he saw two men standing, and he said, "Which way is to Boston?" "Which way to Boston?" The man didn't say anything. So he thought probably the man's deaf and he didn't hear what I said. So he walked away, and the man who was standing beside this man said, "Oh, why didn't you answer him?" He says, you think I want to get my block knocked out?"
Yes, that's more like it. That is the story for sure. Well, maybe there's some more to that stuttering story, Dad. Can you think of a second punchline?
I can't think of it. I guess that's where it begins.
Well, let's see now. Okay, so the guy who's standing there, who had asked the person next to him why he hadn't given the information, then he says to that feller, "Well, you do have a problem with your speech. Do you stutter all the time?"
He says, No, only when I talk."
That's the one we've been waiting for. Yeah. Okay, you have a story about the man who bought a donkey at an auction, Dad?
Yeah, she was leading the donkey home, and the donkey stopped and refused to go any farther. And, well, the man was trying to get into a doctor came along, and saw the situation and asked if he'd give any help. And he said, "I don't know, I hope he can." So the doctor opened his medicine kit and took out a syringe and put some liquid in it and gave the donkey a shot in the rear with this syringe. And the donkey gave one jump and then he started to run across the field. And the owner said to the man who had given the shot, "Was that very expensive stuff that you shot him with?" "Oh no," he said, "they weren't expensive at all." He said, "Well, give me a shot for the same thing. I got to catch that beast."
Ah, okay, that's a new one to me. So with Grandpa's faithful old Swiss cuckoo clock striking supper time, we'll close our little presentation. The 2 years have gone by. This is Christmas now in 1982, and Grandpa has been gone from this world nearly 2 years. Grandpa and I dialogued this little collection of jokes and songs when he was 90 years old in his room at Hillcrest House, Carmel Valley Manor. It was November of 1976 then. I had thought my daughter Patty, who was living in Japan, would especially enjoy hearing his voice as a Christmas present clear across the world. And indeed, she did. Now this year, I have rediscovered the tape and am making copies for other relatives who might at Christmas time get a kick out of remembering Dad's great good humor and playfulness, which was with him nearly to the end of his life. Along with Grandpa, I send you all my season's greetings and love. This is Elizabeth Ratcliffe, or Levi, signing off.